morning. Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590 The Fan.
I can't swear on the show, but I just want to be like, what the is this? This is a wrestling song. This
you're
is so...
just lucky that I didn't do the screamy part.
So this is a wrestling song.
I'm still eating chips, that's why I'm
because
not
no
talking.
One would ever listen to this other than like a wrestling fan who's like wearing a t-shirt of a wrestler and
not me today, thankfully. They still
have like an iPod shuffle. They don't even have it on their phone. They just have their like wrestling songs curated on a shuffle.
Yeah, it's not a song. It's a entrance theme.
Yeah, that's
a big difference. This is I've talked about before. There's a four quadrant graph of like good song, bad song, and good entrance theme, bad entrance theme. Some things are good songs and bad entrance themes.
Who is that? Does Merrick know? Hold on. Let's just quiz Merrick. Was he on the line for that?
He'll know what's who up? That was for sure. Did you hear the music we played you in with?
No, sorry. I missed it.
Okay.
Wow.
I was watching Seth Rollins getting jumped. I just found out about it.
Well, that was Seth Rollins' music they played you in with.
It was really great.
Oh, so okay. Look at how that worked out. Look at how that worked out.
That works out great. I thought we were talking about chips today. What gives?
Yeah, we are.
Really good.
We are.
What's your favorite chip?
We just ate chips at 7 a.m. live on the air. Yeah. So that's what you're tuning in for.
Nice. It varies. I try to... you know what's really good is the... what are they called? The spicy dills.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah, those are the ones.
This is the jumping off point. I can't tell if you're just being a pro or if this is real. Nope. So that's just real.
Yes!
Was that yours, Ailish?
Oh, the whole saga is that. Yeah, those changed my life. And then I bought the newer version of the Miss Vickies, and they are not. They don't live up to the spicy dill. That's all.
Spicy dill's the best.
It's really good.
They're like overloaded with ketchup now, are just like too smug. It's like the old chocolate chip witch for the old school. It's like, how much more ketchupy can I be? Too smug for me. I don't like a smug chip. I like the Miss Vicky's spicy dill is a good solid, not smug. It's curious yet a well-behaved chip.
Oh my god, you're so articulate with your chip.
I was gonna
takes.
Say we're
wow.
done
I'm
we're
so
done
impressed.
With talking chips now. We just call you and you give the review. That put us to shame. I feel like a complete idiot now the way that we spoke about. I was like, these chips taste good in my mouth. And then you came on.
Yum, 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 yum,
yum. Ailish and I struggling to string three words together. And then you come on here and do that. All right, Vic, don't put that on the podcast. Only start it now. Welcome to the show, Jeff Merrick. Nice to have you here at this time of day for the first time. Just starting
bright
now.
Bright and early.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the show. How are you? How are you this morning?
I compose myself here. I'm good, man.
Yeah. That's great. That's really good. Great. Thank you for joining us to only talk about hockey and nothing else before. So
right. All that matters is hockey.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So it is all that matters, hockey. Let's just start with this, because those awful Team Canada jerseys are out before I even get to the Leafs stuff.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's
can you do
thing.
A redo? Do you think Team Canada will actually do a redo? Because everyone hates them. I haven't met a single person that's like, oh, they're good. Just scrap them. Why are we doing this? Every other country, Sweden's like, hey, we have great jerseys. We're just going
like, to sticking with
we're
it.
We're going to stick with how we have the sweet jersey that this is our jersey. All the countries, hey, this is our jersey. Team Canada with hockey, for whatever reason, thinks like, oh, we're just going to keep switching it up ever since we lost the main logo from the 90s, the Gretzky logo, and now we're in this weird place where we just can't figure it out. And that one is just, like, iconically bad. I feel like this is the Cristiano Ronaldo statue of Canadian sports, where we're going to use this as a meme for ugly things.
Okay, so a couple of things there. So, one, I don't disagree with you. I'm not a big fan of them. Whenever I see like a jersey, anything, first of all, anything fashionable, I look at and I say, okay, not everything has to be created to please me. So even if I don't like it, that's fine. But do other people like it? And you're right. Like overwhelmingly, this has been met with, you know, major thumbs down here. Am I allowed to say that I like the jersey? I just don't like it for an Olympic jersey.
Yeah, it's
like,
more
I don't mind
of,
it.
I thought it was more like that
it.
World Cup of hockey type thing where it was cool and it's like once in a, you know, blue moon and then that's it.
I would like it if
it was like a rag in my apartment
and I needed
to clean something and I was like, hey, where's that old ratty giant tiger jersey? I'll cut that up into little pieces and that's the way I look at it.
So I don't mind the idea of always changing it up. Like I'm not like I know there's a lot of people. Oh, I want to historically relevant. It's got to be the same as when Henderson scored at Luzhniki, and it has to have.
Honestly,
that.
Yes.
I just, nah, you know, I look at it and I say, like, you know, tradition is just, you know, peer pressure from dead people. Like, okay, enough. Like, let's keep moving along here. Let's keep moving along. Let's keep changing it up. I'm a lot cooler with that. I just don't like it for... I sound old when I say this. I don't like it for a national jersey. Mm-hmm. I like it for a club team. That's cool. I just don't like it for a national
jersey. It's the world's biggest stage. It's the Olympics. It's, you know, it could be the site that we look at for the next 4 years, a goal scored, the golden goal, and we're going to have to see
no, I said,
that jersey.
I think you can't put Sid in those. Honestly, we can't have Sid cursed. Be seen in those sweats. It's like, you can't have it. Sid's like, it's got to be like a libero or something in volleyball where you get a different uniform. Like, I can't see Sid in those. Please don't make me see Sid in those.
Someone from Team Canada is gonna turn down the invitation based on the jersey.
Honestly, everyone should. I said send the Scrivens team again, you know, like send the Scriven squad. That's who belongs in those sweaters. Like not this, not McDavid and Sid.
Okay, so since we're talking about Team Canada, I guess let's talk about their roster construction. What's the biggest question for you going into Beijing on the men's side, especially
goalie.
I guess.
I think it's kind of like who's it. You know, at times, Marc-Andre Fleury has looked really good. At times, Marc-Andre Fleury has looked really bad. The ultimate question mark is Carey Price, and where is he going to be? You know, I think Jordan Binnington's got a legit shot at this. I think Carter Hart has a legit shot at this. Mackenzie Blackwood has looked real good.
No.
But you know what? Measure all these goaltenders up against what Russia's going to throw at you.
Oh, scary. Like even the States. Yeah.
States as well. Like, the States may have problems down the middle, but their goaltending is good, right? Like that's the big thing. Like the last time Canada won gold, that was, I mean, specifically in that U.S. game, that was Carey Price just saying, "It's cool, we got this. 1-0. Don't worry about it, guys. Like we're good with this. We're good with this." So there's always hand wringing about, you know, Canadian goaltending. I've always maintained that the two hardest jobs in Canada are this, and it goes in this order. Number one, prime minister. Number two, starting netminder for any Canadian team. Wow. For whatever reason in this country, we wring our hands about goaltenders, the position we know the littlest about. And I think this is true again for the Olympics.
I hate all the options. They're all just not. And I know I'm doing it because I'm comparing them to Russia and the United States. And I'm like... the old Mitch Hedberg joke about the jelly beans where he's like, come on, man, let me just have some. And it's like, that's what I just want those other goalies from the other countries. Like, let me just have one. You know, you're not going to use Jack Campbell. Like, let's have. Like, so I hate the options. I feel like it probably won't be as big of a deal. I hope not anyways. I think that the goaltenders are fine and that the team is really good and Team Canada is going to be Team Canada. But can I suggest the storyline that isn't getting quite enough play right now that I'm going to end up using a bunch is Team Canada always has the blue line that you look at and go, boy, nobody's even close. And that gap feels like it's closed. I don't look at Team Canada. I saw the States. I looked at their depth. I looked at their blue line. And I thought, I'd rather have that one. And that's the first time ever, where it wasn't like, man, Canada 1-7 is just... Every single one of our seven guys you'd rather have than any of the guys from any of the other countries,
killers.
Essentially.
Just killers.
Killers.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And now, and this is no offense because I like Morgan Riley, but even the idea that he would get on this team is like, no. Come on, man. And I look at Team Canada's defensemen and I'm very underwhelmed. Even though those guys are good, a lot of them are great, I don't feel like that is a Team Canada caliber of my lifetime blue line. And that's actually the one where I go, huh. There's no top-end pairing where I say I feel safe with them on the ice the way that I do with the iterations of the past. And that's the new one for me. Goalie thing, like you said, that's a staple. That's a classic hit. The blue line thing is different.
Couple things. Great Mitch Hedberg pull. All books are children's books if the kid can read. That's one of my personal favorites. Two, you're not wrong. But here's the thing about it, though. Here's the one thing that everyone, and we've been saying this now for a while. We can't talk about how wonderful this game is. We can't talk about how, oh, these other countries don't get it. Hockey's fantastic. What's not to love about this thing? We can't we can't project that out to the world and then get upset when they accept it and improve at it. Like, we just have to be square to the fact that there are going to be other countries that catch up to us at every single position. The goaltending thing is the weird one because the goalie factories seem to go from Quebec to Helsinki to Stockholm, and now it's in Moscow. And along the way, you know, all those positions improved in those countries. You know, United States, man, like at every single, like last time around, if the NHL ended up going to Pyeongchang for the Olympics, was there a guarantee that Canada's going to win the gold, or was there an even better chance that the United States would have? Countries have caught up at every single position. We can't have it both ways. Like, it's a very Canadian thing to want everybody else to like us, but us to still just be that little bit better. You know, we talked about, you know, smug chips off the top. That's a smug attitude, isn't it? We want everybody else to love this sport. We want everybody else to love this sport, but we just don't want them to be better than us. We still want to be on top. We still want to be on top of the hill as we watch everybody roll down as they try, as they aspire to be what we are. We can't have it both ways. And JD, you're right. We're seeing it play out on the back. We're not seeing it play out with the forward so much.
No, that's
we're seeing it play out on the back end. And the goaltending story goes way back now. But that's more of a, I've had this issue with the way goaltending is not top down in Canada anymore. Than these little sort of goalie pockets all around the country, and information is not shared. And any country that has a top down information model, Finland, Sweden, now Russia as well, they tend to develop the elite level goaltenders. That's more of a bug that I have about Canadian hockey specifically. But the rest of the world is caught up, and we're starting to see it play out in every single position. But so far, guys, the forwards are sacred. We still have the class of the field when it comes to forwards. And so here's the question. Can they score themselves out of trouble? Are their forwards good enough that if their forwards are an A, can they get away with having B-level defense and goaltending?
So that is the way that maybe a couple of years ago, at least, we thought the Toronto Maple Leafs were building as well. You know, hey, you've got all this firepower up front and you'll be able to outscore teams and play a high event style. That hasn't really been the case. The Leafs have turned things around. They've won 11 of 13, but they've gotten back toward the top of the standings in a way that maybe would have surprised some people. They're 27th in 5-on-5 scoring per 60, but eighth on the defensive end. And they've been a very good special teams team at both ends of things. What do you make of this team right now in terms of, hey, they're succeeding, but maybe not in the way that we expected?
They look a lot more comfortable in their skin in all situations. Mm-hmm. Like, do you ever get a sense that there is a panic with this squad? Now, we may see that panic. And, well, actually, it wasn't panic as much as it was just the team freezing. We may see this in the playoffs. We certainly saw it in the Montreal series. We certainly saw it in Game 7 where everybody froze. Mm. Like, that was a team that we saw that was completely frozen and couldn't relax in that moment. And that, to me, has been the ultimate question about the Maple Leafs. So you can ask this about any sports team. I always fascinated when you push a team or a person to the extreme, if they're able to relax. And if you could relax in an extreme situation, and we'll just use like playoffs for the purposes of this conversation. If you can relax in that situation, you're probably going to be fine. That was the one thing the Maple Leafs didn't do and haven't been able to do in big games so far. But so far, and again, I'm going to reserve judgment on anything the Maple Leafs do this season. I think we're all in the same boat until we get to the playoffs. But right now, they seem comfortable in every single situation. That's how they're playing right now to me.
So we talked a little bit about how Nazem Kadri's lighting it up in his new home, and a lot of people have kind of like floated around this idea that would you keep Kadri and have not taken on the Tavares contract, and how different would the team construction be, and how much more money would you have, and would that have been something you would be interested in? Mm-hmm. And I know it's looking back in time and using our little time machine Tuesday that we did yesterday, but is that something that you see being a positive outcome if you could go back and redo it?
Sounds like you want to get back together with your ex.
Well, sounds about right.
You thinking, you having that soap and warm water feeling about Kadri all over again? Hey, the indiscretions of the playoffs. We'll just let that go. Mm. Not a problem.
There's definitely those things.
I want to hook up with my ex. I'm looking over there. You know, life is good and the house is nice and everything's comfortable. But every once in a while, like, you know, I scroll through Instagram and I see that he's on pace for 126 points, and I'm like, man, it was just a different kind of fun.
Wow. you're doing this with Nichushkin and Burakovsky now, eh? Wow, cool. Yeah, I hope they make you happy.
Yeah. Those guys look really like douchebags.
That's a great, honestly, Eilish, it's a great question. And I'm always fascinated with the alternative universe of sports and the alternative universe of the NHL. Like, if they didn't do the John Tavares deal, if he ended up re-signing with the Islanders at the, what was it, like $12 million or something like that, they're offering, or San Jose, who are offering big money, you know, what would have happened with the Maple Leafs and Nazem Kadri? I tend to think they would have been fine. I just don't know that if you're Kyle Dubas and you have an elite level talent, like John Tavares, you know, essentially saying, okay, let's do this. And I want to be here. It's really tough to say no. And he's going to come in less than what the Islanders are offering or the San Jose Sharks are offering. It's an interesting thought experiment, because I think the Maple Leafs just would have been fine, because what have they been looking for in the playoffs, you know, ever since Nazem Kadri left? And I know someone cynically right now in their car right now is saying, what, suspensions, Merrick? Is that what you want? Suspensions in the playoffs? No, but they've looked for someone with, you know, that gets dirty, like with some dirt under the fingernails. Mm-hmm. Now, ever since he left, like, that's what they've been looking for in the playoffs. I mean, they're different players. Like, it's not even apples and oranges. It's chalk and cheese. Like, they're much different players. I don't know how you say no to an elite level talent like John Tavares. But I think if they would have just stuck with Kadri, A, they would have saved some money, and B, they probably would have been just fine.
Okay, let's continue on this romanticizing our exes comment. What about Zach Hyman? Now, a lot of people are obviously saying they messed up big. Look how great he's doing with the Oilers. He was that good with the Leafs, and he just wasn't given that opportunity, and now he's flourishing. And I guess my question to you is, would you do anything to get him back on the team, and or are you happy that they've, you know, moved off that narrative, in a sense? I guess I know the answer already.
Yeah. So the hold up there is, I understand, like, the big issue between Camp Hyman and Camp Maple Leaf wasn't so much about the money. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the term was part of it, but it was about trade protection. Mm. That was the mm-hmm. the big one where it fell apart. And, you know, I think the Oilers are in a position now, and Ken Holland is in a position in his life where, you know, Ken can say, I'm not going to worry about the end of this contract. I'm not going to worry about, you know, 2026 or 27 or 28 when this thing expires. We have a shot right now, and if it's going to hurt us, you know, it's like saying, you know, when I sit down for a meal, I want the, you know, the tenderest, juiciest, you know, meal I can have, and if it upsets my stomach in the morning, well, so be it. And Blake, by the way, that is something that Vince McMahon actually told me. I'll tell you that story another time. It was about Hogan on Larry King. So we go down wrestling side trails here with Blake. I think he kind of said, like, look, at the end of the contract, it may not look pretty, but it doesn't matter, because we feel we're that close to the Stanley Cup and we're going for it right now. That's why the Oilers will put, like, first-round picks on the table this year, multiple first-round picks, we believe, prospects like Broberg on the table to push them over the hump and get players, get goaltenders, etc. I always liked Hyman. I always thought he was valuable. You know, the guys loved him. I think every team needs a player like that. He's, you know, Blake will tell you, you know, what the underlying numbers look like for Zach Hyman, and they're always good. He's one of those guys that passes both things. Like, anyone that, you know, just wants to eyeball things and thinks that their eyes will never deceive them will love Hyman, and others that want to do a little more investigation and say, well, what's really under the hood here? They love him as well. I got all day for Zach Hyman, but it wasn't going to happen as long as they were going to battle over trade protection.
Jeff, can't wait to hear that Vince McMahon story off the
air.
It's
a good one, dude. It's a good one. I'll tell you it on the air sometime, too.
Yeah, we've got to let you go. So just very, very quickly, Murphy and Merrick's Random Wrestler of the Week.
Oh, geez.
I had a really good and convoluted lead into this that would have really upset Canucks fans, but we don't have time for it. So I will just throw the wrestler at you without the backstory, and I'll give the backstory another time. In late-stage WCW, there was a wrestler named The Demon who just dressed like the Kiss Demon. He had a big feud with Sting at one point. Do you remember what his day job was, the guy who played The Demon?
Was that Dale Torborg?
It was Dale Torborg.
Oh, Dale Torborg.
My God.
Oh, wow.
I have no idea what his real job was. That's a great one.
He is an MLB coach who has coached for the Expos, Marlins, and for the last like almost two decades has been the roving strength trainer for the Chicago White Sox. So he was wrestling while he was doing all that stuff. He was an MLB strength and conditioning guy.
I hope this is Merrick's whole day now.
Whoa.
I hope he's about to go off air.
I am.
His kids are like, pay attention to us. And he's like, I got to read about Dwayne whatever.
Dale Torborg.
Daniel Torborg.
The Demon. Wow. Dale Torborg. Yeah.
Oh, Dale, sorry.
There you go.
I am so going down this info wormhole thanks to you, Blake. This is great. I had no idea. Wow.
There you go.
I'm a little smarter today, and not just because we talked about chips.
Or you might be a little dumber since we're talking about wrestling. But Jeff Merrick, the 32 Thoughts podcast and the Jeff Merrick Show. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, man.
See you, bud.
Awesome. Thanks, Drew. Enjoy the hot spicy dill chips there, ladies and gentlemen.
Always.
Enjoy spicy dill. Spicy dills.
Little something else to chew on here. Brought to you by Great Canadian Meats. Wander Franco is 20 years old. You want to turn your mic off when you're doing that?
No, it's something to chew on.
The disrespect. Also, I actually like it. I think that it works.
But
I think that there's something to chew on.
That's not the sound that meat makes.
It's yeah,
not
I the mean, great.
I'm over here eating Great Canadian Meats. It doesn't make a sound into the microphone. Anyway, Wander Franco, 20 years old, 70 games into his Major League Baseball career, signs a 12-year extension with Tampa Bay yesterday, reported by Jeff Passan to be $185 million and up to $223 million after incentives and that kind of thing. When you're looking ahead to Vladimir Guerrero and what his extension might look like, this is a tough comparable because, again, Wander Franco is 70 games into his MLB career. Vlad has played almost 350 and has a season where he was the runner-up as AL MVP. You're also... You know, with Franco, you're buying out some of the minimum contract years, and Vlad's already into ARB, where a better comp for Vlad, you would want to look at someone who has 3 to 4 years of service time. Well, for whatever reason, guys in that range tend to not get extensions. Fernando Tatis's 14-year, $340 million extension came after less than half the playing time and service time Vlad had. Juan Soto has decided not to, for now at least, negotiate an extension. You have to go back to Freddie Freeman in 2014 for the last guy that I can the last hitter that I can recall with Vlad's rough service time to sign an extension. And obviously, $2014 dollars don't mean much here. Mookie Betts and Francisco Lindor may be better comparables because they were closer to free agency. Anyway, all that is to say, Wander Franco kind of resetting the market at 12 and 223 at 20 years old, 70 games in. You got to think Vlad's camp is looking at that, rubbing their hands together, coming off a number two MVP season and heading into his first arbitration year. So something that you want. Brought to you by Great Canadian Meats.
So I love the way that you frame this because I think a lot of Blue Jays fans looked at that Franco contract as a real positive for them at first. That people saw it and went, oh boy, he signed for less than $200 million? Isn't that guy the number one prospect? Vlad is the number one prospect and Bo is the top prospect. And so maybe the price of the brick is going down in this situation. Blake just made me feel worse. This is a weird day for Blue Jays fans. This is a day of what you don't have. You don't have Steven Matz anymore. You don't have the security of a deep starting rotation. You don't have the security of knowing what it's going to look like really beyond Berríos and who, like what is the certainty? You could end up having a Manoah sophomore slump. That's on the table. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Manoah's just a true blue bona fide stud that stuff's not going to really happen to. But I'm just saying you can't really put him down in pen as the number one certainty. He's a guy who didn't start the year last season with the Blue Jays. Then you have Hyunjin Ryu, who might bounce back, but Pete Walker's already on record saying they're going to handle him differently. And when I hear handle him differently, I think, oh, this guy's pitching every 6 days. Like they're going to be pretty tricky. This guy's going to have rest days throughout the season. Then there's Nate Pearson. God knows what the hell that is now. And then there's Chicken Strip, whose birthday was yesterday. Ross Stripling.
Chicken Strip.
But you don't want him in your starting rotation. Yeah. He's
old
like
Ross Tenders.
That feels good if he's your seventh guy or your sixth guy.
Yeah, if he's the guy filling in on those days Ryu's getting an extended week.
Totally. Now, I love the way that you frame that for a couple of reasons. It's terrifying to think that you're looking at a Mookie Betts type of contract for these guys, and yet it's feeling more and more realistic that you are. But also, there's this, like, not to connect everything to the Leafs, and I know not every Blue Jays fan is a Leafs fan. It's actually the country's team, right? But to me, anyways, there's something to the Leafs being the team that paid all their RFAs big money that they didn't end up getting the big price breaks on. And as good as the Nylander contract even looks now, they still paid Nylander more than what his market value was that year. They conceded. Mm-hmm. They went up. He made more than Pastrnak. Marner, obviously the guy that got paid too much. Matthews, there was no price break. The idea that the Blue Jays would also have their guys who are like baseball's versions of RFAs be the ones who like somehow even set the market higher than the Francos. I'm blanking on the Padres guy's name.
Tatis,
Acuna, that they're the ones who end up having to either pay more or have less certainty with it. I don't know. Maybe it's just because of the Leafs thing, but it annoys me to a degree.
It's tough. Acuna was under 1 year service time too, so it's not a
right.
It's not a great comp either.
And now it kind of feel like you're in no, like the only position you have is to play it out, because Vladdy does have the one incredible season. There is a bit of a track record of, hey, maybe he wasn't working as hard as he could have. And so now you'd like to see it before you pay him right after 1 year, right? Like, I don't know. They're in a tough spot. I kind of feel like they have to keep running this down, that you don't want them to be extending Vladdy tomorrow or Bo tomorrow, because you're going to pay crazy amounts of money. So why not just leave it and not buy out those years for now? That's a weird ass feeling to have, is don't extend your superstars in baseball in this market. And yet that's kind of where I'm at.
It's certainly something to chew on.
Yes. Brought to you by Great Canadian Meats. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more hockey, take a few more of your texts, maybe tease a giveaway that's coming later in the week. And then we'll talk about this Vlad stuff and the Jays pitching situation with John Morosi at 8 and Keith Law at 9:30. All that is next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show, where we also dabble in chips and food takes. We are all eating chips. What was that noise?
Zip.
Someone's zipping a chips bag. JD and I have just been eating chips since 7 a.m., which is kind of disgusting, but I don't even care.
Also, not only do I not care, I was really nervous when you came in this morning and there was no chip clip on that bag.
Well, I opened it like 4 hours ago.
Okay, I know.
Wait, didn't you? I thought you opened them last night.
Yeah, which was like 4 hours ago.
2 o'clock in the morning. So I was like, you get up. That's the worst, is a night like last night where there really wasn't much we had to do. And I was actually excited for the Gonzaga UCLA game, which, great. That was just like, I got into bed. I pulled a Blake where, you know, he watches his sports from bed and he goes,
well, if it's something I'm not heavily invested in, I'm just like keeping an eye on.
But I did that. I settled in a bed. I got all cozy. I was like, UCLA Gonzaga. It was like, and the ball is tipped off and the game is over. Everyone
what was it, like 26-9 or something, like right out of the gate? Shout out to Canadian Andrew Nembhard for playing so well. But also,
that's Daniele's boy.
Yeah. Also, like, I would have enjoyed watching a competitive game between the number one and number two ranked teams, especially since I'm historically a UCLA guy. So, shout out to Andrew Nembhard, but that was rude.
And speaking of shout-outs, shout-out to Denise Ndrumbo, who is Blake's mother, who said she's going to get us some hers.
Did she call herself Denise Ndrumbo in the text line?
Denise Ndrumbo.
So, because she texted in a couple
That's
times.
So good.
And, but she didn't put her name, so,
And she would
you know.
Message me and be like, did you get my text? Like, and
now
I'm like,
I know.
Well, no, you
she's
guys
listening.
Sign them, so now she knows.
I just like that she wouldn't sign it, you know.
Blake's mother.
Or just Denise, like, we wouldn't know, you know, that that's the Denise. I just like Denise Ndrumbo. Also, it sounds good.
Yeah, so Denise Ndrumbo texts in.
Yeah.
Gonna get you guys some Hers ketchup chips. They're the most ketchupy chip I've ever tried.
Okay. Denise. Obviously, I'm a big fan. We creeped your Instagram yesterday.
On the air. She didn't hear it. I texted her. I was like, did you hear it? She probably went back and listened to the podcast part. By the way, you can get that wherever you get your podcasts.
Denise, you're in way too good a shape for me to trust your chip takes. I'm sorry.
That's so true.
You're way, like, Blake's mom is shredded. Like, I actually thought that her full-time job was Instagram fitness. Like, that's what we're doing here. And so I'm just sorry. Like, it's like when you see a really attractive stand-up comic and you're like, come on.
What has happened to you bad?
Yeah, what's your problem? What's going to happen here? And this is how I feel about your chip takes, is you'd be like, huh? And I'm like, I don't want kale.
No,
okay?
She's like, definitely like, baking kale.
Yeah, exactly.
In the
so here's
oven.
The other thing, though, is on the one hand, yes, I get what you're saying. Like, is my mom trying to sell you guys on some like high protein? Mm. And that's the other thing.
Yeah. Your mom's the person who's like, turkey bacon is so much better than real bacon.
But the odd time she cheats, that's such a high leverage snack situation.
High
do you
leverage.
Maybe trust her more?
No.
Because she only gets that shot maybe once a week. Like, we're talking maybe like one little bowl a week.
I've already had a whole bag and it's 7
I don't think she's going to throw that away on a mediocre chip.
I think she doesn't know. Yeah, exactly.
Denise. I'm pounding chips on the air at 7. And she's like snorting protein.
Yeah. Snorting protein. Yeah, she's doing the Brett Laurie mainlining dry protein.
We're just a couple of little piggies in the morning, just like eating all these chips. And Denise is there with her like healthy chips. And she's like, you guys should. It's like, nah, I'll just leave the pigs in the trough. All right. Like, don't try to bring them to a restaurant. Just leave us alone.
Don't get mad at me. I had a high protein, high fiber granola bar while they were eating chips. Don't be upset with me. Also, my brother sent in a review of the chips.
Can I say something? That looks a lot like Snickers to me.
Yeah, those are. Like, look at the layer of chocolate on the bottom. Yeah, and there's like, chocolate chips and marshmallows.
I mean, look, 170 calories.
Yeah, it's like,
that's not marshmallows. 170 calories, 11 grams of protein, 5 grams of fiber. I'm okay with that as far as a quick breakfast goes.
My God, I just looked at the nutrition facts on this bag.
Yeah, not good.
Per 28 chips, which we've definitely had at least 4 times that amount, 28 chips, 260 calories, 15 grams of fat, which is 20% of your daily value. Yeah. Hey, but you know what? High in potassium, 14%.
So,
honestly, that's all I heard.
Honestly, high
Alice
in potassium.
And I are just crushing potassium today.
There's even a little bit of iron.
Honestly,
6% iron.
We're pretty healthy, I would say.
I feel great about myself.
Just potassium, just absolute potassium legends.
Who needs
over
bananas?
Here.
Exactly. Just eat a 550 gram bag of chips.
Not going to throw one in my smoothie today.
Just to round out the Murphy family part of the segment, my brother Matthew texts in. He ran out to Costco after our show yesterday.
Serious? We're like influencers.
And he says,
to the Murphy family,
they were just ketchup chips. No heat, no extra flavor. They were good ketchup chips, but that's it.
That's exactly what we felt, Matthew.
One more thing on the Murphy family. It is my other brother Shane's birthday. He's definitely not listening to this because we don't talk about anime or New Japan Pro Wrestling. But happy birthday to my brother Shane.
Wow. Oh, speaking of brothers, my brother writes his CFA
and now this is
today.
Just brother talk.
My brother writes his CFA.
Yeah, well, I mean,
test
you got
today.
A whole trip with your brother that we talked about.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
I can say happy birthday to
my brother. Writes a very important test today. His CFA level 3. So let's all send good vibes to Jordan. Yay.
You know what, though? You kind of stepped on Blake's brother's birthday there.
Well, they're both important days for all of our brothers.
Yeah, I know.
What's your brother doing today?
He's in California.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
He's like... No, I hate it. Come back to the real world, kid. Like, this is what he does. He goes on these trips, And he's got a weird job with CN where you can kind of, I don't even know if I'm just talking about this. Who cares? He's in California and I'm jealous of his life right now. So I'm not jealous.
Other things.
I'm jealous of other countries as well when it comes to these hockey sweaters. And I want to just get into this a bit. And normally I hate, it's subjective, but I really do feel like Canada hates these sweaters. And I don't know why they keep doing this where they switch it up and they get uglier and uglier and uglier. And they genuinely do. And it's like they had those jerseys, those 67 sweaters, mm-hmm. right? And I'm sorry, Merrick, but you're wrong. You're wrong about a subjective thing. Those 67 sweaters are incredible. And then Team Canada had a groove for a while where it was like, this is the Canada hockey uniform. And then I can't remember what the hell it was, but because there was the player on it or whatever, remember that? Mm. Somebody's like, you can't use this logo anymore. And then we lost our way. We were, okay, well, I guess we need to come up with new stuff. A whole new gear for Canada hockey. And the Sochi Olympics and the Vancouver Olympics. I don't love those uniforms, but they're okay. And frankly, the Vancouver ones grew on everybody because of the success. Like, those look a lot better in hindsight than they looked going into that tournament. Right?
Yeah.
But these are skitty. These are skitty sweaters. We're Team Canada, okay? We're the world class of this thing. This is our game. We're the ones who knock. And we're wearing these garbage bags? Give me a break.
Okay, couple takes on it.
It's time to be Canada hockey. It's time to stop giving the designs to, like, some hipster company. It's like, what if... Oh, France, what if we put a little bit of a spin on this where we have the... No, enough. Red and white, classic, clean, Team Canada. End of the black uniform thing. God, I'm so sick of the black uniform thing. Just clean it up, okay? Enough is enough. This is the tipping point where I was like, this felt like you were trolling me. When you sent this to me, Ailish...
you said there's no way that's real.
I said it's fake. Real. I said that's fake. That's like one of those things where some guy goes on... whatever, paint, MS Paint. What is that thing called?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got that. And they're like, I could make a jersey. And it's like, yeah, don't quit your day job.
One thing that really bothers me out of many things is there's no stem on the leaf.
It's horrible.
No, but like, that's not a maple leaf.
It looks like a rock.
It looks strange. And somebody showed the Huawei company. You know, Huawei. The Huawei, H-U-A-W-E-I. That's what I'm trying to say. Is that Huawei? That logo is exactly the same as the logo on the jerseys. It's awful. Where's the stem? Also, I think the red jersey looks...
I used to ask for no stems.
It's too dark with the... No stems. It's too dark with the logo being black as well. And do you think they would ever get, like, red pants or red gloves? Like, it looks kind of house league. And especially the white jersey has no black accents, and then they have black gloves and black pants. It's just... It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Sucks. It sucks. It really sucks.
The Huawei logo, or also the NBC, the NBC logo with the peacock.
Yeah,
you know?
It's brutal. It's truly brutal, and everyone hated it. And it especially tells you how bad it is when the Devils released that jersey.
And you're like, maybe I don't.
And we go, hey, this is the worst uniform we've seen in hockey. And then Team Canada was like, we contracted the same company. Who's going to buy that?
I was really excited when they teased that they were going to be releasing new jerseys because I thought it'd be cool to have like a new Olympic jersey for this upcoming year. Nope.
Blake, I need you to weigh in here.
I need a throwback.
You've been the one who's like neutral here.
Yeah, I've been trying to find something, but it doesn't look like I'm going to find it in an efficient enough time. I don't like the black. As someone who, like, 90% of my wardrobe is black, and mm-hmm. basically all I buy are black band t-shirts or black wrestling t-shirts, you'd think that I'm the target for a black alternate sweater. I'm not. I don't like it. If you are missing even the emo kids with your black sweater,
that's a sign.
I think it's a miss.
I don't think that I saw anybody really giving it praise,
I think it's just a classic case of overthinking it.
Mm-hmm.
The Olympics are every 4 years. You don't need to completely reinvent what a Canadian hockey sweater looks like every 4 years. Just...
Imagine you make the Olympics for your first time. You've grinded your whole life. It's an honor, a privilege. You call your family. I made it. I'm going to Beijing. And then you pull on that jersey. And you're like, oh, sweet.
No, I honestly, I want somebody from Hockey Canada. I want
on Luongo, the phone.
Like, I want someone to say, hey, why can't it be this way? Why can't it just be, hey, we screwed up, all right? It's on us. We made a big mistake. We did a boo-boo. We're going to scrap it, okay? We're going to scrap it, and we're just going to wear the ones from Vancouver because we wanted those.
They should. It was good luck. Double gold.
Anyways.
Are the Vancouver ones the ones that had, like, the little design inside the leaf?
Yeah.
I will tell you
I like those ones a lot.
If we lose at this Olympics...
It's because of the jerseys.
I will always carry that. I'll carry that to my grave. I've always said I'm terrified that the last thing I'll see before the lights go out is the Malcolm Butler interception. that I'm right about to croak and it's like, oh, Malcolm Butler. You know, that's the last thing. It's just weird, irrational fear I have. Now I just picture the potential to become that. It's Canada losing in overtime in those sweaters. I'm like, why did we wear those ugly John Tucker jerseys?
Yeah, why did you wear your funeral alternates to a hockey game?
Speaking about Leafs, mm-hmm. Leafs on jerseys and Leafs on the ice, starting tomorrow, we'll be giving away Leafs home game tickets for this season. So be sure to tune into the Fan Morning Show every day for instructions. We're going to be giving you guys chances to go see the Buds on home ice. So you need to continue to listen through our chip takes if you want to win chips. I mean, tickets.
Now you're giving away chips too?
Maybe. Anyway, I wanted to make sure we got that in there.
JD, I know you and I were on the email about this promotion.
Right.
But I'm...
I didn't see it.
Even then, I'm still like a tiny bit worried because Ailish so often... offers to give stuff away on the show that she doesn't have the authority to give away, like Alexis.
That people, they don't believe the contest because it's Ailish offering it.
No, this is real, though. This comes down from above me. It's not just me giving away tickets. Yeah. It's actually Sportsnet.
Unfortunately, this is, the tickets are, I mean, we'll explain tomorrow how you win the tickets. Ailish will actually.
Yeah, it's all me.
She'll explain it every day. But unfortunately, it's not just the award for Simp of the Year.
No, so, you have to do something.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to do with me. Mm. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. I love giving away stuff. Remember when we gave away the Raptors 905 tickets? Oh, you weren't here. Mm-hmm. And it was Bing Bonga hour. And, you know, everyone was just fired up to get free stuff. Winning free stuff is awesome.
Big W for that team. That
yeah. So winning, maybe we'll be a part of that.
Winning free stuff is always awesome in the moment. You're like, yes. And then 2 minutes later, you're like, why am I holding this? This sucks. I don't want to carry this.
I don't think that's the case with Leaf tickets.
No. That's what I mean. This is a rare occasion.
We should make them do a skill testing question where they just like have to understand something that Blake says.
Oh, do we get the power to create the contest? Wait,
no.
The whole point
the
of
contest
me
is
that,
created.
I thought the whole point of me was that I do explain things in a way people understand.
Yeah, you do.
Whatever. You know what
so
I
mean? So that would be kind of an insulting contest.
I miss the days where we could create our own radio contests. We used to do...
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
What would you do?
We had this one that was on the Walker show, and I need someone to help me out, but it was like, we would have these people, and we had a timer, and you'd have to name, like, five things in 30 seconds.
That's really fun.
Yeah, so... But it was the best, because people would choke.
Oh,
people
yeah.
would choke so hard.
You're in the moment. You're like, I don't even know my name.
And one of my favorites ever was like, we had one where we had to have a guy named Five Pieces of Fruit in 30 seconds. And he couldn't do it. He's like, he's like, apple. it was really bad. But my favorite
this is
was
way more fun.
We had someone, we asked them to name, you know, five of the seven dwarves. And the answers this guy gave for the dwarves, he was like, Snowy? It was like, no.
that's your buddy from Gander,
yeah,
Snowy.
It was such a great solicitor of hilarious choke answers that I still care to this day.
But we can also, you can sports that. Like one of my favorite,
five
like,
and 15,
hey,
you had 15 seconds.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do with friends is like, you know, you're on your last beer before you go out. You got 15 minutes to kill before the game comes on or whatever. It's like, hey, JD, 2012 Toronto Blue Jays, 12 different starters started for them.
Oh, my God.
Can you name six or something like that?
Yeah.
And if you can name whatever the over-under is.
You know what? I could start doing this in the A-list if you wanted. A little quiz once in a while for you guys.
Oh, see, I was just going to make a joke about how, like, you know, even just hanging out with Blake, he's like, here's a test. And you're like, ugh.
Come on.
You're at the bar.
Remember some guys.
He's like, at the bar and he's like, oh, yeah, before you get that next drink.
You show up to Blake's apartment. He's like, here you go. Pop quiz.
Before you enter.
So you've got 30 minutes. Your time.
Testing question.
Phones away. Phones away. He's the proctor. The proctor is just running around the apartment proctoring. Also, tough name, Proctor. It's always sounded wrong.